As the Paralympics approach, we have some news from Channel 4. There will be audio description for the events, and to talk a little bit more about the coverage, we have with us from Channel 4, Jonathan Penny. This is a really exciting thing to have such a major event like this, and plenty of audio described action as well.
That's right, yeah. So the Paralympics runs from the 28th of August to the 8th of September, bookended by opening and closing ceremonies, which many viewers will remember from previous games. Channel 4 is going to be showing more than 1,300 hours of live sport across Channel 4, More4, and our streaming platforms as well, and also showing every moment of live sport on the Channel 4 Sport YouTube channel, which is quite an exciting first in terms of bringing that content to somewhere that we all know young people spend a lot of time. The opening ceremony and the closing ceremony as well, these will be shown on our 4/7 channel, and this is going to have what we call an open AD commentary. So essentially, the main commentary is replaced by a descriptive one, which is delivered by audio describers, done in a way that everyone hears it. So it's not toggled on in the way that normal AD is. There's going to be live sport almost wall to wall on Channel 4 and on More4 as well. More4 focusing more on the team sports. We are offering live audio description on every evening's live sports coverage on Channel 4 Linear, 6:30 in the evening to 9:30 in the evening, and the main presenters are Ade Adepitan, Ellie Simmons, and Claire Balding. Each night there's going to be a highlights show and is on air from 10:30 to 11:30. This is also going to have live audio description on Channel 4 on Linear, and also available for people to catch up on our enabled streaming platforms too. And this show is presented by Gaz Chowdhury and Josh Pugh, who's a stand-up comedian and former member of the England partially sighted football team, and probably familiar to some of your listeners already. And lastly, on the AD content, there's also a separate short form highlights package, about 10, 12 minutes being put together for YouTube. And this is also going to have that open descriptive voiceover, which means that all users will be able to hear that, adding a little bit of descriptive clarity to convey some of the events, but also with quite a personable and Channel 4 flavour to that voiceover as well.
Whether it's the audio description that people are familiar with or the open AD, a huge amount of work must have to go into that. And then you throwing in the live mix as well. Not an easy thing to do.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a lot of work. I'd like to say it's like that image of a swan where it's very serene at the top and legs going very fast underneath, but I think I'm kind of not even looking serene at the top anymore. It's just a lot of prep, and I think, as you say, the live element makes it very complex, but also just that kind of stacked cumulative events over 10, 12 consecutive days. It's full on, you know, and I think as well, part of my role, as well as overseeing sort of audio description, is looking at subtitles and sign language as well. So we've had games before where we've done a lot of access and made a big effort to bring the coverage to people in an accessible way. But I think this time feels for me like a real step forward in terms of being able to offer access to the events as they're happening, which feels like a big moment. And also, live audio description is something that's all of the broadcasters have kind of been developing their own solutions for that. Obviously, the BBC has had a lot of success and coverage from its live AD on Strictly. ITV done a lot of live AD at the Six Nations earlier this year as well. And we've been able to test out our live AD solution on our Stand Up To Cancer broadcast last year, and also on some of the football that we've shown.
Well, we had the Euros in the summer, and UEFA had the app that you could go on to and you could listen to the AD for all the matches.
Did you try that out?
It was fantastic. It was really good. And the AD actually tied up really nicely with the live action, so you could follow it with other people as well. But I suppose technically that must be quite a challenge to do something like that.
You've either got the choice of, do you replace the existing commentary with one that's fully descriptive, kind of similar to how I mentioned with the opening ceremony earlier, or do you leave the existing commentary and try and interject descriptions, but also recognizing that sometimes you are going to just have to go over the existing commentary. And I think the way that we're approaching it is like, leave the experts, because, you know, at the end of the day, the people doing the main commentary are obviously giving sporting analysis and different comment to what a describer can bring, which is obviously they're still going to have knowledge and subject matter expertise and stuff around the content, but mainly they're going to be trying to bring that extra descriptive information to kind of convey exactly, not just like technically how the goal was scored or whether it was a good goal or not, but talk about, oh, was it in the top left corner or where was the player on the pitch when they scored it, that kind of thing. And I think it brings me really nicely onto another strand to the Paralympics with the RNIB to provide a bit of training to some of the commentary teams on tailoring that main commentary to have a little bit more inherent description in it. And that's something that's really exciting as well.
For me, if there's no audio description, it's difficult. You know, if you're watching a football game or even listening to it, for example, on the radio, you still get the pundits with all the information. Whereas me, I want to know where the ball is, who's got it, what's happening on the pitch as well. But I suppose if that could be taken up by the actual pundits to sort of think, well, I need to give a little bit more of what's physically and visually going on, I mean, that's got to be a plus too.
Absolutely. I think it's about not just saying, look at that, you know, it's kind of trying to give a little bit more information where possible. At the weekend, it was actually the first time I've listened to tennis on the radio, and it was really exhausting, you know, because the level of detail that they had to go into to convey a fast rally with that real, obviously, back and forth of describing each shot was quite a lot to take in. I guess I hope that in the future, it's going to be about finding a balance between, yes, there are some types of events, some types of sport where that extra toggleable description is going to be the best thing for users, but other times, and you know, depending on different types of content, different nature of events as well, that maybe it can be more of a actually making the main commentary a bit more inherently accessible can strike a balance there, I suppose.
Do you think that governing bodies behind events like this, you think they are becoming more aware of things like, let's look at audio description, for example, because they want to grow their audience? You know, they are a business after all, but they want to make it more inclusive.
I think that's a good point. Yeah, I think definitely we're seeing more and more use of AD and interest in AD and you know, subtitles and sign language in the same respect. But I think AD in particular has always got that unique kind of, it's not a straight translation in a way that, you know, subtitles are typically a straight transcript. BSL obviously has a lot of nuance to it, but is fundamentally conveying information into another language, whereas AD has always got that creative choosing what to get across in the moment means that it has that fascination for people who don't use the service. I know that with like Bridgerton, for example, there's been some examples recently of some of the steamier scenes getting shared with their kind of audio descriptive and people finding amusement in it, but also in a respectful way, I think, and a way that's like, look at this service, what's it doing? I think there's obviously a room for you as a user, but also me as a kind of on the provider side to make sure that kind of dialogue about these services is done with a bit of education around, like, yes, it's easy to listen to something like that and laugh because the AD has said some rude words. That's not, I think that's not the angle that any of us necessarily want, but where it can, you know, like in the same way Naked Attraction has had similar attention from the way that the AD has to kind of step in and convey some quite fruity images, but in a way that can kind of highlight the importance of the service as well and give it a greater profile. And I think absolutely you see it more and more now with live events. To live concerts as well, where they've got a BSL interpreter very, very prominently getting really into the music, getting that publicity online after events as well. I think it's all a part of making access to events, access to information more visible in a way and making it more the norm. Another thing to drop in is, as well as the coverage itself, we've got related content to the Paralympics. You know, we've got a couple of documentaries called Path to Paris, a program in which Britain's most decorated Paralympian, Dame Sarah Story, the cyclist, introduces to some of this year's competitors, and a film called Equal Play, in which Hannah Cockcroft investigates how school students with disabilities can find themselves isolated due to the lack of opportunity to take part in sports and PE. So really a lot of different ways, as well as the coverage itself, it's really great to see how the different aspects of the coverage are kind of trying to tell different sides of the story as well. And I think equally the marketing campaign for the Paralympics this year, it's been really interesting to be a part of what's for me my first Paralympics working at Channel 4 and seeing how this marketing campaign has developed. It's moving away from the kind of superhumans approach that was taken before to much more of a turning the lens on viewers and viewers' response and attitudes to seeing Paralympic sport. I guess make people question the sometimes patronizing attitudes that can come with that from some viewers. You know, that sort of, he's doing really well considering, that kind of well-meaning but doesn't land that well with the people that those comments are directed to. And I think really trying to just reflect the fact that these athletes are really up against is not their impairment or disability, it's the forces of time, friction, gravity, speed, all these things that are actually just the forces that are all athletes and all people are up against as well. So it's been a really kind of interesting experience to be a part of that, you know, making that campaign accessible as well.
Just finally, Jonathan, if people would like to find out more about the coverage, what's the best way for them to do that?
All our coverage is detailed on our press site, which is channel4.com/press. And you can find the timings of the different shows, that all of the presenting lineup, fantastic presenting lineup featuring disabled presenters as well. And also some information about our new state-of-the-art production facility, which has been built in Wales specifically to support us making this event accessible and broadcasting it in a way that makes use of lots of disabled talent as well.
Well, Jonathan, best of luck with the games. We're certainly looking forward to checking out the action with the audio description. And thank you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.